Can I just second?
Oh yeah, it'll pop up there.
All right, thanks.
All righty then. Okay, well, welcome everybody to the March 8th Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting. And so we'll go ahead and get started. The first item on the agenda is Surface Water Fund Green the Green Contract Completion Acceptance. Is this going to be Mike? Mr. Perfetti?
Yes, it is.
All right. Take it away.
We'll do it. Hello. So this is asking you to accept this contract as complete, which is the contract with Applied Ecology LLC out of Seattle, contract 18145, which constructed the shoreline restoration improvements, which included the installation of 5,700 native plants along 1,941 lineal feet of shoreline, and 1.82 acres of shoreline. And this was a public-private partnership between the city and a couple of businesses, which are the JSH property manager managed office park at South Center Plaza and Harnish Group and NC Machinery site on West Valley Highway. The contract notice to proceed was given in 2018, November. September, and they completed planting in early 2020, and then finished 1 year of maintenance in November of 2020. And so they have been paid their last payment, and affidavits of wages paid has been accepted by LNI. The total contract amount initially was $120,577. There were three change orders for $30,194.16 and some unit price underruns and tax totaling $143,956. About $120,000 of that construction funding was paid through grants, and then the remainder through 412 funds. So we're asking that Council accepts this project and this contract as closed. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I will start with Mr. Quinn. Councilmember Quinn, do you have any questions, concerns?
No, very creative, love public-private partnerships. And Tom, you got my memo on the outfit today.
Yeah, what's up with that, guys? I got to go
I think he's throwing shade on me. He's throwing shade on me.
You better go hit your closet.
Yeah, I gotta go change my clothes. Okay, so Mr. McLeod, I know you had some questions for Mike, and I think they got answered. But do you have any additional questions, or was there something you wanted to discuss on this?
No, Mike. First of all, thank you. Great answer. I wanted to just give you a heads up, and this was more than enough to answer my questions about. But when we're doing this type of planting, it seems like we're doing a lot more shrubs than trees. Are we planting enough trees, which I think would give more shade than a plant?
Yeah.
I would like to ask that question.
Yeah. So to respond to that, yeah, no, it's a valid question. And that is the main goal of this, you know, this project and in general restoration to provide shade, because we have seen a degradation in water quality, dissolved oxygen, those kind of things with the loss of shade that we see. And salmon are really struggling for that shade, and it affects their reproduction and their life cycle in general. So I think the answer is yes. These trees are planted at 12 feet on center. And so it's a variety of trees, but if you can imagine Douglas firs, Western red cedars, some big leaf maples, 12 feet on center is pretty tight spacing over time. You know, once they get mature, it doesn't look like much now, but in those spaces in between, we planted native shrubs, salmon berries, red flowering currants, et cetera. We did go through a process, an alternative process of tree spacing. We chose the middle alternative. We had KCD consulting for us. So I think we looked at 8 foot, 12 foot, and 16 foot on center. 8 foot on center would for sure require some thinning, I would say, down the road. And 16 feet might not have provided enough shade. So I think with the option that we selected, we feel it's the best solution for shade and overall habitat gain.
Okay. I think it's a great project, and it's good work. So thank you for the explanation. And, yeah, I'd be fine with closing this out.
Great. Thank you, Tom. And I'm fine with this. It's interesting because I walk this portion of the river a lot, and it's been really kind of fun to see the restoration project over time. And there's lots of great stuff going on down there, which I appreciate. So I'm fine with it. Hari, did you have a question or a comment?
I just have a comment. I think it's mostly to Mike. Mike, do you want to give details that this is an ongoing project, even though we're closing this particular project here? Green the Green is a program that's on our CIP for the next several years. Do you want to speak about the details of that?
Sure, yeah. Thank you, Harry, for bringing that up, because that's an important point. This was what we would consider, I guess, a pilot project in this CIP program, with the CIP project slash program being to do revegetation projects in years to come. And so the near-term CIP funding program includes future efforts to do more revegetation like this.
Great. That's wonderful. Good. All right. Well, then I think thank you guys for that. So I think the recommendation then is to forward this to the next regular meeting on the consent agenda. Committee members, are you fine with that? All righty then. That's what we will do. All right. So the next thing we have is the public comment. You're welcome. Thank you. The next is the public comment on the King County Airport Master Plan. And Laurel, I think you were going to tell us about this.
Yeah, thank you, Council Member. Council President Kreller was approached to see if the city would be submitting a formal public comment letter to the county in light of their master plan process. I did speak with her about the approach of the letter that's in your packet, which is more of a thank you for the presentation, and we look forward to partnering with you in the future. And we encourage you to work closely with our communities that are impacted. The part of the reason why I took that approach in this letter is the public comment period is over, and they had addressed a lot of the comments that they received from jurisdictions regarding neighborhood impacts. They made it very clear in the presentation that environmental analysis will come along with the implementation and the projects. And so I present this to you just to see if you agree with this approach, and we can send this letter off, or if you have any other edits. That's it.
Thank you, Laurel. So I'll start with Council Member McLeod. How do you feel about this?
With regard to the letter, I'm fine with it. I think just emphasizing our availability and willingness to partner on this as it moves forward, I think, is important. I think we do have some areas that we would like to probably keep a close eye on, noise levels, pollution, the fuel farm, things like that. So I don't know if we would want to speak to those as areas that are of interest to us in going forward, but that we're supportive of it and want to be a part of the process and solutions.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Quinn.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the look and feel of this letter. You know, what I would say, and again, it's how you word it, but there are people in this community that have real impacts, and that's important to us as a city, being a voice of the residents. And so, you know, I really think that, and the FAQ is really good, but I also think it's good for us to really emphasize that, hey, folks are impacted, and any ways that that those impacts can be addressed, you know, we want to continue to have a conversation, because those things have had impacts over time, and we've heard about them over time. So I think it's just representation of kind of what we hear from the residents. And I know that there's kind of formal process for insulation and things like that, but then as we're seeing people move in, are they aware of it? So I just think it's just that constant commitment to community outreach so that folks know kind of what is available to them and that their concerns and impacts are shared by us in Tukwila.
All right. So I think I'm hearing that we're okay with this letter. And this is just for committee approval, right?
Well, Councilmember Steele, I was hoping that you would report out on it. And I actually have a couple of other letters to talk with the committee about under miscellaneous. I'm hoping you report out on all three.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can say the committee has come to a recommendation and ask if there are any concerns. And council members have received copies of all of them.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, so I will do that. Okay, so we do have two other letters under miscellaneous. So let's get those.
All right, and I apologize for them not being in the packet. I've decided I want to really get my arms around a better process for this going forward so we have more consistency. But these letters are kind of thrown at us all from all over the place at different times. One letter is a request from the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency. They're going to be pursuing some grant funding to electrify the 9 diesel-powered yard hostlers at the BNSF railway or intermodal facility, sorry. And the hostlers are the big machines that move the cars back and forth from trains to trucks. It'd be a huge project and a huge win for the community. And they made it clear they would be working with the city, if the grant is successful, working with the city on community outreach in Allentown. So they provided a letter, and I think it would be good to send it back with the city's full support.
Okay. Sorry, I was just popping over there looking at the letters. Okay. Councilmember Quinn, your thoughts?
Yeah, just really briefly. I think they sent me a request, which I forwarded on to Councilmember Crawler. I believe last time we supported, and I also believe they have the support of the intermodal facility on their infrastructure investment. I don't see why we wouldn't be supportive of this for all the same reasons why we would be supportive of the previous letter that we just discussed. And, you know, electrification is good. I mean, it has benefits, and it's great to have, you know, at least a demonstration of a partnership with the intermodal yard.
Thank you. Mr. McLeod.
I would concur, and I don't have anything additional to add, but I'm supportive of both.
Great. And I totally agree as well. So that makes 2 out of 3. So what's the third one?
The third letter is a request from the city of SeaTac that has requested we sign on to a letter of support to the state legislators to fund $250,000 for phase 2 of the UW Healthy Air, Healthy Schools study. This is implementing the findings of phase 1. And Brandon is on the line. He's much more familiar with the contents of this request, if you have any questions.
Okay. So let's see if we have any questions first. Councilmember Quinn.
I'd like to save my questions for Brandon.
Okay, let's hear from Brandon first.
Hey, Councilor Committee. Hey, Laura did a great job of summarizing the letter. So not a lot to add. This is City of SeaTac and the other cities were successful in getting funds for that first phase 1 that the UW did. That UW study was very well put together. There was a lot of community outreach. It was done by UW professors. What this letter or what this round of funding, which is supported by Tina Orwell, would do is to help focus on schools and how do you implement and look at improving air quality inside of schools. It is focused on the Highline School District. They're a partner in this, so I want to. But you know, a good number of our kids go to Highline School District, and anything that we learn from this would be applicable to any other school throughout the state and the country. So we can eventually apply it to all schools in Tukwila.
You're on mute, Brenna.
Sorry, Councilmember Quinn.
I have no questions. It's kind of a no-brainer support and as Brandon said, this can inform other school districts in the area that the kids in the community go to. And I have to say, with COVID, like, you know, you wouldn't think so much. I mean, well, with COVID, I think it's just how can schools be better insulated, you know, and so I think it's very timely.
Thank you. Councilmember McLeod.
So this comes with no cost to the city. Is that correct, Brandon?
Correct. So the five other cities, Des Moines, Burien, SeaTac, Normie Park, and Federal Way, are contributing a total of $50,000 between the five cities. So $50,000 total as a local match. We have looked at if there's a way for us to help provide some funds to reduce, to have six cities provide instead of five. But if we don't find the funds, there is no cost to the city, and that if they get the funds from the state, there's no requirement for Tukwila to put up a match.
Okay. I'm supportive of it, and I would look forward to the findings being of some value here to our school district. So thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Tom. So basically, we're just supporting the request. That's what we're doing, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I'm fine with that as well. So I will report out on all these things. And so, Laurel, did you say that all the council members have all three of these letters now, or?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Well, then, is there any other miscellaneous or good of the order or anything that we need to talk about?
So, Councilmember, there was an email that was sent by Laurel regarding the 42nd bridge. Is there something we want to talk about in this meeting? I thought that's what you meant, Laura.
Council members, there were some questions in a social media post over the weekend about some surveying activity in Allentown, and I think that we were going to target the meeting on the 22nd to maybe discuss that further, but I had reached out to Hari to see if there was anything that could be shared tonight about next steps or what the committee would like to see. That's all I meant.
Yeah, I can give a quick update, committee members. So that activity is part of the 30% design of the 42nd bridge that's currently undergoing. And we are putting together an article for Hazelnut that clearly explains what is going on. The outline of that article is there was a study done a few years ago for BNSF access that includes five different locations and a alternate bridge location. And then from there, city's focus has shifted to restoring the current bridge due to the sufficiency rating being poor. And so we started our efforts and concentration on the 42nd bridge replacement. And that led to the current position where we're in, which is we have started the 30% design. So there is some activity in terms of survey and some geotechnical stuff. So we're putting together all of this information in a logical fashion so that the local residents can clearly understand, and also that will give you, the committee members and the council members, a place to refer the residents to. But Adam Cox, our bridge engineer, is here online. He has talked to this particular resident. If you have any questions, we're here to answer. So that's where we stand right now. Thank you.
Adam, do you want to weigh in and just let us know what conversations that you have had and kind of a little update?
Yes, certainly. There was back in January, first week of January, is when I received a call from the individual that posted on social media. I guess Hari said that happened to be going to the mart on the corner there and saw some surveying equipment going on or some work being done, questioned what they were doing and why they were doing it to their response being building a bridge. They really didn't know since it was contracted. So She then kind of took that as we're building a bridge there right now. And by kind of going under the radar is the aspect of what the concerned citizen has. So I did speak with her for about an hour or so, like the first or second week of January, letting her know that this is just very initial stages of this project, that this is information that we need to get the ball rolling for that 30% design, and that we will be having some public engagement with the residents of Allentown here in late spring to early summer to get their input as we move towards that TSNL report that will be presented to us this fall. So I saw the comment this morning as well, since I'm a member of the TIPLA talk, and it's kind of threw me for a loop that I did speak with this individual. I believe I got my point across that we're not trying to sneak anything behind their backs, and this is, we're going to give the opportunity to them to present the bridge design, but I guess it falls on deaf ears at that point.
Okay, because if I just, for clarification, so we're going up, so the 30% bridge design for the bridge, and then where did this, I'm hearing, I've heard from other people, and they talk, you know, there's this alternative. So, and I can't remember everything that we do, so forgive me if this is obvious and I just forgot about it, but the bridge, the alternatives, is that part of the 30% design? Was that always coupled together? Because I know we have talked about alternatives. I know that we looked at that study. There's like five different ways or whatever. I'm just trying to understand where all of a sudden this is coming from.
So let me try and answer that, council member. So the alternatives that were studied under BNSF access were much more detailed, with five different alternatives. And the scope of 30% design of this particular 30% design only has one alternative. That's a straight shot on 124th and or replacing in its current place. Those are the only alternatives that are being studied under this. We're not going to 48th, and we're not looking at all of those other options. For a myriad of reasons, they were not part of the scope of this current contract.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to turn to my other council members now. Council Member Quinn.
Just briefly. So there's one alternative, which is 124th, where the existing bridge is. And then there is let me be clear, there is no view of going across 124th to, I think that would be like to a house. Just being clear about what's going to be presented, which is 30% design for the existing bridge, if I have that correct. And if so, then surveys on the four-way stop are a part of the process? Or are you saying there's a 1A alternative? But I don't think you're saying that. I just
There is 1A alternative. Adam, would you like to answer that, please?
Yes. So as part of that type size location report, the TSNL is location. And so that's the part that we are trying to figure out, is do we replace the bridge in its current location, or do we move it a little bit more north where it's a straight shot of 124th? And those are the kind of the data points that they're taking right now. Is there used to be a bridge straight across by that mini mart years ago that they tore down when they replaced it with the 42nd Avenue Bridge. So as part of our 30% design and as part of that type size location that's being produced, is to see the alternatives, see what, you know, what size beams we need and such like that for this initial design. That answers your question.
So it's just one more kind of clarification. It's just part of the 30% design due diligence. It isn't like we've been presented with this proposal and said, go ahead. This is a part of a 30% design, factoring in what could be, and it would be a 1A alternative that, like, we as a body have not discussed, but it's a technical, option to be thorough on the 30%, just so I'm clear.
Yeah, it was part of the technical design, in the sense, would it be a shorter, easier bridge if it's a straight shot, and therefore it's cheaper? And also, will you get more granting opportunities to partner with Transportation Improvement Board in Olympia? So there is a method behind and a reason behind why we're looking at just that 1A, just one extra option under this 30%. And it may not work out, or it may work out, but that's all we're looking at under this 30%. We're not looking at any other options that were previously looked at under the BNSF access study.
Deshaun, excuse me, Deshaun, do you have anything else? Okay, Tom, Mr. Councilmember McLeod, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chair. So when we were voting for the 30%, I did not have the impression that was including a design coming off 124th. So I'm a little surprised to hear about it on social media first, before we don't hear it from the administration. That's number one. Number two, I'm a little surprised that you're taking other options off the table without a process where we might discuss that further, like 148th. I don't think those are good processes. And so I feel like we've had one discussion in one place or on the one hand, and then kind of some decisions have been made with the other hand, and the right hand didn't tell the left hand. And I find that frustrating when I'm the left hand.
So
can you speak to that? I mean, who made the decision to take 148th off the table? And it'll lead to another question I have. What does BNSF say about it? I thought they liked 148.
Yeah, so BNSF obviously would like us to look at all of these other options. It's simply the cost that's kind of controlling the process. And so we are going to bring an update to the committee next month. So we, at this point, still don't know if 124th is a viable option or not. It's just something that just came up that it could be a cheaper option. And we actually did have a discussion of this at the time of funding. And I think City Administrator David Klein is here on the campus.
Go ahead, David.
Council members. Sorry, let me be very clear. The BNSF study was to have an alternate route in addition to the current 42nd Avenue Street Bridge. That was what all those alternate routes was, a new route into BNSF just for BNSF. It was not to be accessed instead of 42nd. This study is about 42nd, and when the council did do the TSNL on 42nd, it was always belief of in-kind replacement. The question was, in-kind replacement would be, if we did it there, you're going to have some construction difficulties because the bridge will be out of service if it's right on the same place or if it's next door to it. So the idea from engineers was, can we go back to the 124th as a replacement for the 42nd bridge? So Councilmember McLeod, if we were not clear when you assigned that 30% design, we apologize. It was always with a 1A, which was in-kind replacement, and a 1 was the in-kind replacement, and the 1A was to replace 42nd. Instead of on the same place, it was on 124th, to the street, not to the freeway, right across the bridge. And we don't know what that cost is. It may be more expensive, and we'll just do it in kind. But it was to give you, council members, more options after you get the 30% design. Hopefully that helped add to the discussion here.
Tom, can I jump to Deshaun? Deshaun.
Yeah, can I just say, I can clearly see where the confusion is. I don't want to speak for someone from the public, but I could see how you can come up to the conclusion that there's a backdoor way to do something maybe that none of us have really formally talked about. But I think as I described it, it's kind of a technical due diligence component. But what I would say is, but that might not be enough, right? Because the community has some concerns, and so we need to be able to speak to those. And so what I would say is, before it comes back, I think we need to be clear on what our answers are. I think it's a little bit confusing. I think there's things that aren't being said, like this could be cost prohibitive. This could be environmentally prohibitive. It could be a kind of community impact prohibited. I mean, it's in engineering, all those things. So I think we need to be just pretty transparent about this being in kind of a, and I'm not trying to throw the engineers under the bus for sure. They're good people. But there are certain considerations when you do this work. And there's a whole lot of processes that would go behind even a consideration that this is an option, because we didn't dig deep into maybe there's another option. I think the assumption was we'd figure this out. And so it's all a part of the process. And if we can be clear about the process associated with that, it would be important. And maybe Laurel can actually, and Chair Steele, like, help with, like, look, there's a way we do business, and there's processes that we follow, that we have to follow. And so being able to answer those questions up front before we even have this, before we have this item on the agenda, which I think we should, because I think the request was like turn out and tell the city, don't sneak behind us. And that's not a good look. It's just not. It's not, and it's not consistent. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So I think what I'm hearing is perhaps, if we did put this on the agenda for the March 22nd meeting, really kind of get those questions out and figure out a way to really make it clear. And then I think I saw Alan today, and I think you might have mentioned this, was that there is going to be public outreach. There is going to be, right? That's going, you said that too. I'm sorry. It's been a day. Which is good. But I think we do need to be prepared to explain just what you were saying and just what Councilmember Quinn just said, that, there is a process that we use to do this. And, nobody's trying to slip anything through the back door. This is just the way it is. Does that make sense?
Yes, committee member. We'll put together a memo for the next meeting, and we'll try to outline the process.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember McLeod.
So, Hari, I would imagine in some people's eyes, this decision kind of got left at, hey, there's these five options that's being looked at. If you're taking some options off the table, can you tell us why? For instance, the north entrance to BNSF's got some huge rocks in the way and would really be cost prohibited because of that or something. Or the 112 option, it's got some other barriers. If you're taking options off the table, it'd be nice to know why. Because there was a big presentation at the community center where Allentown came down, we went down, walk through all the options, and from then until now, the bridge has gotten worse. We're getting to a point where we have to do something, and I don't know if I remember, maybe 124th was an option back then on the five, but it just leaves some gaps And then when we see that or hear that there's this activity going on and that's part of the 30%, it's like, well, wait a minute. It feels like some options have been taken off the table without a process.
So
can I jump in here? Just a quick question. I just want to be very clear. Is all those options, Councilmember McLeod, were as a second entrance into BNSF Yard. They were never options to replace the 42nd bridge. So I just want to be very clear. All of the options that we've looked at into BNSF were all to give a second entrance directly into BNSF, but it was not related to replacing the 42nd Avenue bridge. So the north entrance to BNSF, the south entrance. So we did not take any options off the table. It was when we decided not to look at the second entrance into BNSF, and we refocused how do we replace 42nd. Those are two different, completely different decisions. How do we replace 42nd for the residents? And then how do we interact with BNSF to give them another safe entrance into them? And that was what those other options were about BNSF entrances. It wasn't about replacing 42nd.
Do you think Allentown sees it as two separate subjects?
I think that's where the clarification needs to be.
So it sounds like we need to clarify exactly those issues. Because I remember those conversations with, it was all, the BNSF questions were all about replacing, getting trailers and trucks off of 124th. And it was about giving them an alternative so that the trailers and trucks could come in a different entrance into BNSF, be it off of 48th or the north or some other alternative. All of those alternatives always kept 42nd as an entrance to the residential streets. It was always, people wanted to make sure they had residential access to Allentown and to TCC. So that seems to be a key issue we need to clarify with the community as we go forward.
Yeah, so just like what Derek Klein has mentioned, we in Public Works have seen these two as two separate projects. This project on 42nd is replacing the bridge in its kind, whether it's in its place or right next to it or in the vicinity. That's a separate project. It's granting authorities are different. It's from BRAC funding mainly. So we're pursuing that as a separate project. As far as the BNSF access study, where else we can build another bridge to carry all of that, that's done in collaboration with BNSF, and the funding sources for that, we're looking at BNSF, see if they can help us or we can have other sources of granting. So we're trying to keep these separate so that we have the sources of grants coming from separate. So that's how we're operating.
Does that make sense, Tom? Deshaun, did you have something to say?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I understand it. I don't think they're so distinct as subject one and subject two. I think they're a lot closer than we're talking about here. And it's not such a misnomer by the community to blur the two together.
Deshaun?
Yeah, all I was going to add was that what's new today is we know the bridge is life.
Mm-hmm.
Whole life is coming to an end, and we need to address that issue. But I also think, and I think we need to make sure and emphasize it, because yeah, it can be confused. What the process was for that, mm-hmm. and what the process is for this, and what I also assume is the 42nd, in order to be competitive funds, it has this piece around, you know, serving a community's essential pathways coming in and out, which might be different than a secondary bridge for Burlington Northern for trucks. So I think please emphasize the difference, because it is confusing. And I think the assumption is that decisions were made. So kind of as the mayor said today, he said it's important to be clear around the process and to kind of clear it up. But I think even just for historical purposes, being able to easily explain the differences in the two and then what now has changed, because again, understanding the current state of the bridge is more significant. So it's not a secondary route. It is the route.
Right. And I think that's exactly we have to be able to explain both, because they are two separate things. And what's happening is people are blending it all together. Just like, you know, I'll admit I was confused. So I think maybe in explaining 42nd, what we're doing there, we need to also explain the difference. So I think you guys have got that right. Okay. All right. So when we see this again, that's what we'll do. Okay. So is there anything else before we try to go eat dinner? Okay. All right, you guys. Thank you. We'll see you back here in about 45 minutes or so. Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you.